It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It is the final day of voting in Wisconsin and around the country. Polls are open in the state until 8 o'clock tonight. We are taking a break from covering the candidates and campaigns this morning as people cast their ballots. But WPR will bring you live special coverage of the election starting tonight at 6, and I hope you can join us. Now, the gap between CEO and average worker pay has skyrocketed in past decades. A recent analysis by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel examines the pay ratio between Wisconsin chief executives in 2023 and median worker wages. They found compensation packages for CEOs who run Wisconsin's 25 largest public companies is hundreds, even thousands of times greater than the workers with salaries that make up the middle of these firms' pay scales. Here to discuss CEO pay ratios is Laura Dresser, Associate Director of the High Road Strategy Center, that's an economic think tank, and Clinical Associate Professor at the Sandra Rosenbaum School of Social Work at UW-Madison. Laura, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thanks so much for having me. It's good to be here.
Laura, what jumps out to you as you look at this CEO data?
I mean, I think we probably all know in our heads that CEOs earn a lot of money. I think the thing that really jumps out at me is just the ratio, the growth in the distance between what a CEO and what a worker earns. And this is true in Wisconsin. You mentioned, the highest ratio is over 1,000 times between the highest compensation of the CEO to the median worker. And that's true nationally as well. These gaps are enormous, and they're much bigger than they were even 20 years ago.
And an example might be Kohl's CEO, Tom Kingsbury, making $8.9 million in 2023, that pay package. Median employee salary at Kohl's was around $12,000 a year. I wonder, are there particular sectors where we see wider gaps than other industries?
I think it's hard for me to say that. It's certainly the case that the very biggest gaps generated in Wisconsin were for both Kohl's, where the median worker's earning just $12,000 a year. That's a pretty low median wage. And also Manpower Group, where the median worker, the median pay is under $10,000 a year. So it's definitely the case that with a lower wage industry, sometimes the ratios can look quite large. And so part of what's going on is these lower wage industries. But there are some other examples, an electronics manufacturing, Fiserv Forum, with gigantic ratios that don't have that kind of same story.
We'll step back for a moment and give us some historical context. With the gap between CEO and worker pay, it's increased dramatically since the 70s. What are the reasons?
I think the financial is, sometimes people call this the financialization of the American economy, but CEOs and corporate boards shifted to a model of stock and ownership in the company as rewards for work, rather than in the 1970s, CEOs largely earned salaries, very high salaries like everyone else. But salaries like everyone else. And then shifted to a much more financially driven shareholder, kind of stock returns driven model that has really exploded their pay, even as workers at the median, really haven't seen those gains. So one of the expressions of this from 1978 to now, CEO compensation has risen by 1,000%. And the typical worker's wage is up about 15%.
Do you think our corporate boards even concerned about pay gaps? If, as you said, they're concerned about retaining that CEO when they see their earnings go up, is that more of the focus here?
Obviously, I think there is concern about keeping good managers. There's also, I think, a lot of evidence or some strong evidence from the Economic Policy Institute that shareholders or the stock values are being driven by things outside of CEO choice, and CEOs are getting rewarded for that when and so it isn't that there's a perfect alignment between share value in the short term and the potential of the company. And the financialization really focuses folks on this like high return strategies in the short term. And I think that can undermine the longer term growth. But also over the course of the last 40 years, when this has happened, the structures that we have to decrease the incentive for this to happen, higher tax rates on higher earners, tax rate, you know, actually taxing these sorts of compensation, not just wage compensation, that policy has gone away. And so it's pushed people into rewarding themselves or through control of a board, these higher wages.
We're talking about CEO worker pay gaps and an analysis by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel on CEO compensation in our state. Laura Dresser is here, Associate Director of an Economic Think Tank at UW-Madison. Laura, looking at these 25 publicly traded companies, one thing stands out. Not a single woman CEO here. Everyone is led by a man. What research insights can you offer about women in the C-suite and in the workforce? Because you do have the State of Working Wisconsin report that you put out.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like in a lot of ways, the State of Working Wisconsin is really focusing on the other side, the denominator, or the, you know, like what is the median worker entering in these? And I think it's important to see that like you're noticing in the C-suite, dominated by men, or you know, overwhelmingly in Wisconsin, in the top 25, all men. And the workers that carry the work in the lower wage jobs, disproportionately women, and the kind of rewards going to the top, growing and growing. And I think this, so for me, this really relates to what we think about a lot in the State of Working Wisconsin is how do we improve jobs at the bottom of the labor market? How do we make, that kind of lift the floor for the bulk of workers rather than, you know, kind of continuing to move into these astronomical pays for CEOs? Like, what is the strategies that move up the bottom and how do we get some taxes and incentive away back to longer term economic growth rather than short term gains?
Yeah. Can you expand on that? What are some solutions to curb this trend?
Well, I think, you know, at the top end, the, higher tax rates on very top income earners is at the state level, higher tax rates on the very top. We've moved away from that over the last 20 years. And tax incentive, tax policy could incentivize lower or more equal pay or lower ratios, more attention to the ratio. So that kind of what is the median earner earning? And then antitrust legislation, because part of when we have this kind of concentration of companies, fewer and fewer companies with higher and higher rewards in the stock markets, you know, so competition could actually kind of help spread that out. And so antitrust policy, the kind that the FTC is pursuing, is also kind of part of the picture on the high end. And then on the low end, or on the kind of where, I don't mean to call it low, but, you know, like where people work, you know, thinking more about what is our enforcement of our minimum wage? What is the number of honor? What is our minimum wage? What is our ability for workers to form unions and to pursue their own interests? These things kind of help workers make a stronger claim on the wages that on the value that that company is generating, but not delivering to workers.
One more note here. The Journal Sentinel's data only looking at publicly traded companies that submit their data to the Federal Securities and Exchange Commission. Could you predict or extrapolate what could be happening with the CEO pay ratios at privately held companies?
It's a great question. And, you know, obviously this not public data. The reason, you know, we can say these things for certain about CEO pay is because they're publicly traded, because they are required to say what CEOs earn and private companies are not. I think you know, an economist such as myself would say it's a market. And so with high CEO pay in the public side, the private, you know, the private side is competing against that. And so you would see some, you would likely see some similar things, though I think that some people, you know, argue that privately held companies sometimes are taking longer, more locally rooted timelines. But I don't know on net what that would be true.
One note about your State of Working Wisconsin report in 2024, it found median wages surged in 2023, matching the fastest one-year increase dating back to 1979. Did CEO wages see a similar jump?
Well, that surge was almost $1 an hour. It nearly made up for the hit that inflation took out of wages in 2022. Mm. So it moved the median wage in this state to almost $21 an hour. So it was strong wage growth and stronger than we'd posted in a long time. But that's the kind of wage growth that gets you a dollar a year. The CEO compensation growth growing 1,000 times over the last 20 years is just a better. They're definitely posting a much higher rate of wage growth than workers are.
Well, Laura, appreciate your context here. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Have a great day.
You too. Laura Dresser is Associate Director of the High Road Strategy Center. That's an economic think tank. It's based at UW-Madison. And she talked with us about the widening pay gap between CEOs and their employees and this recent analysis by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel on CEO compensation.